The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
Yes, that is right, Stephen Fishback. We are live, the Survivor Know-It-Alls, here on the very first day of November 2017, and another exciting episode. Here is Stephen Fishback, and he's wearing a t-shirt that says, "And me."
Because, and it's just a reminder, Rob, just to keep you sharp.
Yes, yes. That giving the people what they want.
The grammar.
Grammar.
Grammar. Is what they, you came for the Survivor, but you stayed for the grammar.
Stephen Fishback dropping the grammar hammer once again, ready to go. And me. And I've been sitting here looking, and we've been talking for, 10, 15 minutes as we started the show promptly, exactly when it was supposed to start, and take that. And then I'm like, what are you wearing, a t-shirt? I said, what is this new casual look? I didn't know that there was a bit coming. There it is. And me.
There, this is a single use, one gag t-shirt. This is where the know-it-alls money goes, Rob. It's to t-shirts that mock your grammar.
There you go.
I got a whole wardrobe coming.
All right, Steven, will you be bringing any props with you 1 week from tonight to the live know-it-alls, the biggest one that we've ever done? Over 500 people and counting.
Wow,
are coming.
500 people?
Yes.
Oh my God, that's pretty impressive, Rob. You got to say that's pretty impressive.
Yes. Well, they will be there. Let's see if we're going to be able to talk over 500 people during the show. But yeah, I am very excited about that. It's going to be the merge as well, Stephen Fishback.
I know, we got lucky. I mean, last live know-it-alls in New York, we had the Malcolm Boot. Right? That was the last one, I think.
Yeah, that was last season.
Yeah. So, huge episode. Of course, as you know, we as America got unlucky in that situation, but we as podcasters got very lucky, feeling very fortunate to have a merge episode to follow.
Yeah, there's a lot to break down, I'm sure, as there is most merges of Survivor. So we will figure it all out when we're together in person. Biggest venue we've ever booked. There are tickets available, even though we've got over 500 people coming. If you want to be there with us in person, check out the link. RobHasAWebsite.com/S35KIA, or go and click on the events tab at the top of RobHasAWebsite.com. RobHasAWebsite.com/S35KIA, and should be a very fun night. And we're also going to I always use the word attempt to stream the episode so people don't complain, but no, I guarantee nothing on the stream from the live show.
So people don't complain, today this is an impossibly tall order.
If it doesn't work, then we'll post it after the show. All right, but Stephen, first off, I really thought this was the best episode of the season so far. I really thought that the show did an incredible job. I did not know which tribe was going to tribal council. I felt like that they really did a great job of selling me on a few different possibilities in each of the tribes. So the show did a phenomenal job there. And then once again, I was really, for the second time this season, I was really blindsided by the outcome of the vote. I thought that it was going to be JP, and this was a boring vote. I'm really disappointed, because I think that Allie was going to bring a lot more to the table, but I'm still stunned that it's Allie who went out at this tribal council.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. The show did a fantastic job of, often on these episodes, it's really clear where, which tribe strategy we're focusing on even before the challenge. So you know, going into the challenge, you kind of have a guess of who's going to lose. This time we saw kind of the strategic layout of all three tribes, potential boots on all three tribes. And then just as a result, just had no idea which tribe was going to lose. And then you're right. Like, I really thought JP was going to be booted. I was outraged. I had already penned in my head my vitriolic attack on Ryan and Chrissy's terrible strategy for booting JT and keeping
JP,
Allie.
JP Always with JT and JT is what your shirts
say. I just get triggered so easily. I hear that J and I'm ready to go.
We're going to talk it all through right move, wrong move, what they should have done, what they could have done. We'll break it all down. I also felt like that the immunity challenge was absolutely fantastic. I think one of the best pre-merge immunity challenges, especially in the three tribe version. I loved it so much that you could be winning the whole way and then lose it. I thought that it was a absolutely brilliant adaptation of the individual version of that tribe. I love it when they take something that was like when they flip it, when it's like, okay, this was a pre-merge challenge, we're turning it into an individual challenge, and this was a iconic individual challenge that they turned in, and I think they made it so much better where one person could blow it for the whole group. I loved it, and that really added to, I didn't know who was going to go home, and then I didn't know which tribe was going to go to the tribal council, and you had that moment where we had the Yawa tribe, they had it, and then the whole thing fell down, and they had to come back, and then had the emergent gameplay, Steven, where they completely created a new strategy to win it on the fly. That was really a...
Is that emergent gameplay, or is that just like another strategy? I don't know if it's like emergent
gameplay.
It emerged
from the time the challenge started. Yeah, okay, that was not a thing before they went into that challenge.
It was a strategy to do well at the challenge. So I love that. That was really, it was brilliant. And they just flew through it. It was such an exciting comeback. I totally agree with you. A great challenge. I like the reward challenge too.
Okay. Well, a lot to get to here tonight. Of course, we'll take your questions. Hashtag RHAP. Tomorrow, of course, we will have our exit interview with Ali. That's coming up on Thursday on Rob as a Podcast. And then Millennials versus Gen X standout David Wright will be with me in the studio to talk everything through. So very excited about that. We'll be recording that kind of early in the day tomorrow. So if you have questions specifically for David Wright, best bet, email them in survivor@robisawebsite.com. We'll also put up the threads on the Facebook page. And then I will get into everything on the Survivor Feedback Show this weekend. Paul Osleson is going to be joining us, Survivor historian and Survivor podcaster extraordinaire. He will be joining us on the Feedback Show. So get your feedback questions in for Paul as well. All right. So,
and I would say David Wright is just like one of like the nicest people I've ever met, and certainly one of the nicest survivors I've ever met. Just like such a nice, nice, kind guy.
Great guy, David Wright. So, looking forward to that on the podcast this week, Stephen. So, let's talk this through in terms of the Ali versus JP decision. I really, my whole line of questioning for you was going to be, can you trust a person that you've burned? And I really thought that Ryan was going to be putting himself into a position where it was going to be. And so I agree with what they did, although as a viewer, I'm disappointed with what they did, because I don't think that once you have burned somebody, like, I think you set yourself up. This is like what your favorite John Mish did with Natalie Anderson way back when, like in San Juan del Sur. Here's somebody I totally screwed over, but that they're telling me they're good, so let me put all my trust in them again.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this is a no-brainer decision, and that's why I was so outraged when I thought that they were going to make the decision that would have required no brain and vote out JP.
Whoa, really? Boy.
Really? On the one hand, you have JP, who's a giant threat, right? Like, and therefore a great person. Like, all of their reasons that they gave for wanting to vote out JP were actually reasons to keep JP. Like, he's a huge threat at the merge. Great. Keep him around to the merge. He's got a great shot of winning immunity. Great. Every time that your ally wins immunity, that means your enemies don't have it. It's not like Ryan and Chrissy are necessarily going to be in the hunt for these early individual immunities. On the other hand, you have, and the fact that he's not very social, another like great reason to keep him around, means he won't be masterminding any alliances. On the other hand, you have Allie, who's incredibly social, who's got a very developed alliance structure on the other side. She's got this thing with Lauren, and who now has a vendetta against Ryan, And I think that we talked last week about what a mistake this was for Ryan not getting on the same page with Allie. And I stand by that. I think that was a really huge screw up. How many times do you have an incredibly loyal ally in this game? Someone you've been with on multiple tribes. You know, for Ryan, this would have been the one person who he could have had been with on every tribe, who he could have voted with together in every example. But once he has burned her, he has to get rid of her.
Yeah. We talked about this. Jessica Lisa and I had a really interesting discussion about all of this on the feedback show and looking at it from the perspective of Ryan and Chrissy and Allie. And really, you know, coming into this episode, we felt like, boy, Allie needs to, you know, get right with Ryan because she did not help her case at the start of the episode where she got into it with him. You know, you have to take this move. You know, you get blindsided and you stay in the game. You really have to just, you know, go with it. I thought that this you were on the friendly side of this back in Token Sheens when you guys blindsided Tyson.
Right.
And then Coach and Debbie came to you guys and did a good job with this. And like, oh, why did Steven? Why didn't you say, oh, we would have done this, too? Oh,
yeah,
you guys,
yeah.
Oh, I like that thinking. That was a good move. So I think that that's actually what you want to do if you want to have a chance of moving forward rather than having the big blow up after Tribal Council following the blindside.
I think you're right. I think that Allie really put Ryan in a position where he almost would have to vote her out by really. And, you know, I think it is a classic piece of survivor wisdom that no matter what happens to a Tribal Council, you always come back and like, great job, guys. You nailed it. You got one over on
nailed
me.
Nailed it. Perfect move.
Awesome. You know, way to go. On the other hand, Ryan also played that moment kind of poorly where he, instead of going to Allie and saying, I'm so sorry, I had to do this, you know, I really apologize, but there was just no way to do this without letting you know, but I need you to know that you're my true ally out here. Instead, he gets into it with her. So I feel like, yes, Allie screwed up that interaction, but I also thought Ryan could have handled it better. And ultimately, that specific thing isn't going to hurt him because he managed to get rid of Allie, but, you know, they might not have lost the immunity. Yeah.
Without getting too much into the inside baseball of Survivor, you know, you're at Tribal Council, the thing happens, you get blindsided, then you then get back to camp. You know, there is some time that elapses
yes.
in between that. That time is to the benefit of the blindsidee.
Yes.
Get your head straight. Get your mind right. Count to 100. Whatever you need to do, blow off that steam. Because when you get back to the camp, you know, that is not the right time. Now, if you want to make good TV, you know, maybe feel, you know, fire away. We're watching. We're ready to go. But if you want to, you know, have a chance to move past the blind side, you got to figure out a way to be able to get back on the same page with the person that just screwed you over.
Well, I do think
no
leverage. Your point about TV is actually a good one because, you know, like you say, you leave Tribal Council. You don't talk about anything. You don't talk about it on the walk to camp. Then you walk into camp and there's this moment of, okay, we can talk. And it's kind of like it's like a proscenium, you know, it's like, there's like a staginess to it where it's almost like you're entering the theater and it's time to have this conversation. So I can imagine, I think to some degree, it almost forces these somewhat flamboyant interactions. And obviously that's, you know, that's the point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So from that point on though, I felt like Allie did everything correctly the rest of the episode following that scene. There seemed to be an awareness on her part that, okay, I'm on the chopping block. I thought she pushed every button and pulled every lever exactly the way you would want to. Do you have any criticism of the way she handled the campaign to stay in the game?
No, I thought she did a great job. And I thought, you know, Ryan and Chrissy did a great job of leading her along, too. You know, Ryan goes and says, I'm going to apologize to Allie. He sits down and says, I apologize to you. I have your back. It's pre-merge, presumably pre-jury. And therefore, that's something that you can say. You know, you can placate someone to make sure they don't make a fuss in a way that if they were on the jury, you might not want to like do that because they would feel extra betrayed by you leaving the game. But in this situation, why not?
Steven, do you think, is there a possibility that Yawa, and particularly Ryan, might have been throwing the challenge?
I don't think so. I didn't see that. I mean, they were so close.
It's a challenge. Anybody could have been throwing it, and you really would be very little the wiser.
You know what we call that, Rob?
What's that? Fan fiction?
That's fan fiction. Okay. Yeah, that's, there's no reason to think that like they lost the challenge. Ryan was partially responsible for them flubbing it, but it wasn't, it didn't, you know, nothing looked like he was doing it intentionally. Nobody
I'll
said
go
that,
back.
That,
I'll do the rewatch tonight. Yeah. And I'll let you know tomorrow.
Nobody but, said anything along the lines of we are planning to throw the challenge, nor afterwards did they say we threw the challenge. As far as, you know, canon is, that challenge was not thrown.
So presumably Allie becomes the last person to not make the jury. Is that fair to say? 12 person merge. We're assuming final three, 9-person jury. Does that sound right?
That looks likely. Yes.
You know, I think in the past we might have done 8-person juries also along the way. So Survivor has certainly played with it. But if Ryan felt like, boy, Allie hates my guts, I screwed her over really bad, this is a person that hates me, is there wisdom also to getting her out now before the merge to not have her as a person who is going to be voting against him in the potential final three?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I mean, you know, on the other hand, maybe Ryan thinks, well, Allie's a gamer and game respects game, you know, and even if I got one over on her, maybe she'll see that I beat her. You know, ultimately, I think if you're just talking about pure jury votes, doesn't Ryan more want an Allie on the jury than he wants a JP? You know, like, wouldn't he rather have someone who's thinking about the game from a strategic standpoint than someone who's comes out just to dominate the challenges? He's never going to win that person's trust. Yeah.
No, I don't think that the jury sentiment factored too much into this. In terms of keeping JP around, though, devil's advocate, we heard a lot of things in the episode about the idea of getting rid of him before we got to this merge because that he is a power player. Allie even said on her way out the door, good luck beating him. I mean, I'm not too concerned about JP rattling off like 9 or 10 immunity challenges in a row.
Yeah.
But that being said, Steven, was there wisdom potentially in getting rid of him?
No.
How about this? Let me flip this okay. idea past right. you. Yeah. Okay. JP, as Chrissy knows, was in a showmance. Some would call it a power couple with Ashley yeah. on the Heroes Tribe, that you would imagine that once the merge happens, now instead of being a number necessarily for Chrissy, and maybe Chrissy is feeling like, okay, I have Ashley, I have JP, but you would think that they're going to probably go back to doing their own thing. Is that sort of a meat shield that Chrissy feels like, okay, well, people will worry about that couple instead of me? Is there any concern about that couple reuniting as part of this group?
Oh, no, I agree with you. I think the fact that JP is such a big target and the fact that he has this relationship with Ashley or whatever, you know, Devin's in the picture now. You know, Devin and Ashley now have an unbreakable bond, too. And Ashley was forced to distance herself from JP. It's all very Shakespearean. You know, there's a lot going on in this JP, Ashley, Devin love triangle. I think that could be a spinoff series.
Yeah. Well, the thing that I've been talking about on the podcast, Stephen, is that I feel like that when you start to connect the dots on who's talking to who, it's all healers with hustlers.
Yeah.
So you have now in this group, the three people that walk away from the SoCo tribe are Ryan with Chrissy and with JP. Devin and Ashley are paired up. And then Ben and Lauren, who they said that they were talking to Dr. Mike about voting together, even though you said that that's fan fiction as well.
No,
Ben and
Lauren, you were like presented them as like some like power couple who were exclusively like some like had some deep connection together. Yeah, of course, mm-hmm. they're working together as the people on the bottom of the alliance to flip.
Boy, I think you're walking this one back a little bit. Yeah, but it's all heroes and hustlers, and that big group, could they potentially just naturally sync up and say, oh, all the people from my original tribe happen to be working with people from this other original tribe. Now let's target a healer coming into this merge.
Well, I think the healers probably, you know, the healers having gone undefeated until that, and, you know, until and Rourke being the first person healer voted out, I'm sure they made themselves the antagonist, right? They made themselves the target. It's a classic three tribe winning tribe problem.
Mm-hmm. Now, Rourke is out of the picture now. There are only 5 healers left. Do we think that some of the healers will say, I'm not dying on this hill for, you know, do we think that there is a good chance that we start to see healers throw somebody like Cole under the bus when we get to the merge?
Well, you know, we certainly saw Desi's willing to flip on Joe, right? I mean, they really laid the groundwork for that. Something's going to happen.
I will say that 2 of the healers, the only immunity idols in the game, are had by Dr. Mike and Joe. But we also have seen those two people have friction, and there's no guarantee that the five healers are going to come into this merge and saying, okay, we're working together. Who can we get to flip and work with us?
Well, it does seem like all the healers, that's right. I mean, the healers are the ones who are flipping, you know. You saw Desi considering flipping. Dr. Mike is considering flipping. And probably, again, like part of that is just the fact that they didn't go to tribal council before the swap. And they have like no built up sense of alliance with each other. They've got no proven trust. All they had was just talk. And so when it comes down to it, like they don't really have those built up connections.
Yeah. The healers group. That just, if we're going to take a look back at Survivor history, they have all of like the warning signs of a tribe that is really in trouble after the merge between not going to tribal council. They have fractures within. It looks as though this is a group that I'd be surprised if a healer does not go home on next Wednesday night.
Yeah, well, but you know, we also really could see the healers. I mean, as you say, like now the big power alliance seems to be the hustlers and the heroes. So it really is possible for a healer to kind of slip in there. And, you know, once like the big massive healers has kind of been attacked, you know, you see Dr. Mike, you see Jessica and Joe, you know, I see any one of those people going far.
Okay. One other thing, going back to the tribal council that we saw tonight, you know, with JP, Jeff really tried to sell it as that JP strategically is not saying anything of note. Like, hey, what do you guys think of this guy's strategy?
Yeah.
You know, he's like, you know, I would use sports metaphors, but I don't think you'd know who I was talking about. But in terms of
you can say them and I'll nod.
Yeah. But like, you know, like a Derek Jeter for like fans, like, and they ask him a question.
I know who Derek Jeter is.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't say anything. You ask him a question. Like, it's almost like, boy, like JP, he has so much to say, but he's not letting you in. He's just giving you these sports cliches. And what do you think of that? Would you guys like this strategic move that JP is making?
Yeah, I really thought that this was like the farewell to JP, that they were giving him like a gentle send off. And Jeff was just being like, oh, he's so strategic. Oh, we like him.
Yeah, he's selling his part. He's acting just like the block of granite that it looks like he's carved from. Whoa, Jeff, take it easy. Yeah. Take a cold shower. Whoa.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay. Steven, let's touch in with a couple of the other tribes just to go back to the Yawa group.
We don't have to use these names. The names are going to be irrelevant as of next week. Just use the colors.
I just wanted to show off that I knew them. So we have in this group, Dr. Mike thinking about the idea of going after Cole with the idea of going with Ben and Lauren. Do you think is that something that Dr. Mike actually was considering, or do you think that he was just stringing along Ben there?
Oh, maybe it's just like my own fantasy, because like I want to see Lauren and Ben do well, that I want Dr. Mike to flip with them. Like, that would be sort of a fun alliance. It seems likely to me, right? They're all kind of a generation. They're all in their 30s, which on this season is, you know, incomprehensibly old. And isn't it crazy? Like, they're all younger than us. I mean, I think Dr. Mike is older than us, but the other two are, and then, you know, Cole and Jessica have this sort of silly lovebird thing happening.
Yeah. The thing that I just can't shake is, you know, Dr. Mike had a secret scene 2 weeks ago where he talked about how he recognizes Ben is the biggest threat in the game and that he needs to get Ben out. Could Dr. Mike work with Ben under that logic that he has about how he identified him as the biggest threat in the game? Could he work with him?
I mean, it's great to get close to the end with the biggest threat in the game, because then there's no ambiguity about who you need to get out.
Mm-hmm. So that's the move?
I think so. That's my move.
Aligned with the biggest threat.
It didn't work out, but it was my move.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about Levu a little bit.
I hate you.
What's going on there? The blue tribe. Okay. The blue tribe. Okay. And so we see two things of note really going on there. One, that there's the operation to get Desi to potentially flip against Joe, which she seemed into. Were you surprised?
No, because A, if anyone approaches you about anything, you're like, I'm into that. I'm open to that. You know, it's like the same thing with Dr. Mike being open to Lauren and Ben. You lose nothing by saying, I'm sure, let's talk about it. You know, the only people who screw up are the ones who say, I'm not interested in that.
Yeah. And then also we had Joe then finding the second immunity idol of the season. So let's just to set the record straight. Here is Joe has found his second idol of the season. Steven, if he finds one more idol this season, Joe will be tied with Tony, Ty Trang, and one other player for the most idol finds in a season.
That's pretty impressive. Just three other players, Tony, Ty, and someone else.
One other player.
Found three. That would be pretty great for Joe.
Yeah. And so Joe, and again, you know, shades of, you know, we have to always keep bringing up Tony, but, you know, when the last player that I saw digging a hole at nighttime away from LJ. The tribe, it didn't go well.
Oh, yeah. Tony, you're right. But here was great. It was perfect. I mean, that is really impressive. I have to say, to like sneak away from the tribe in the freaking middle of the night, you know, even just to be up, you know, I'm always amazed by these players who are able to do stuff at night. It is pitch black out there. I would not be able to find my way out of the shelter. I would be terrified of whatever like monsters are lurking in the wilderness. I'm really impressed when these guys are able to do this.
Yeah. I mean, you're scared to go to the bathroom, let alone go look for the idol. Right. And they tell you, like, don't go off by yourself at nighttime. Like, don't do it.
But obviously he did. I guess he must have let a cameraman know that he did. So, you know, I guess that's like a little bit of light, like whatever's coming from the camera. But that's because someone followed him. Right. But I thought that was amazing.
Yeah. OK, Steven, what else from this episode?
Well, I mean, we got to talk about Cole and his food issues.
Yeah. Okay. So do you feel like that Cole, we saw him have this, you know, physical collapse. Do you feel like, does that take him off the hook? Because in the early part of the episode, he's really being depicted as sort of like this piggish, greedy person. Everybody else is like, hey, we're fine. That let's not eat that much. He's like, no, I got to keep eating. We saw him raiding the peanut butter. But then we saw that, you know, it seemed like that he actually is famished to the point where he is passing out. So do you feel like that that he is sort of immune from any sort of culpability on this?
Well, I thought Ben did a fantastic, you know, job of spinning it to Dr. Mike of saying, he should have thought about this. This is Survivor. You've got to load up on the fats beforehand, not work on your abs beforehand.
Yeah.
So, you know,
and
I think
this is an age old discussion that I feel like that the survivors have had over, you know, how do you prepare for Survivor? I've long said, get as fat as you can. And I'm not sure where you came down on this. So that,
well, there's good fats, you know, like eat, like if you eat avocados or you eat peanut butter, but you see a lot of these like really giant ripped dudes, you know, their food you're eating can't support their bodies. And so like immediately their muscles start consuming themselves. Your body starts consuming your muscles. You feel super weak. And you know, it happens again and again, you know, the Garrett Edelstein factor.
Right. But to me, I think it's all about you need to get your body fat percentage up. And I think that's why I had an easy time adapting to like the elements out there because I have like, it was, you know, 25% body fat. But these guys that come in at like 3% body fat and all muscle, it doesn't work.
Yeah. No, the second time I ate a lot of fats beforehand and I had a smoother transition as well. I think, you know, what starvation is going to be like. But yeah, I definitely had a much smoother time the second time.
So do you buy that argument? Is it selfish to want to come into Survivor looking good as opposed to coming in with, you know, a few rolls that you will, you know, help sustain you through 39 days?
I don't know if it's selfish, but it's bad planning. You know, I mean, there's nothing it's not selfish necessarily. Like it's maybe not intelligent. You know, your tribe members can choose whether or not they want to vote you out based on your decision and based on your performance.
Yeah. I'm going to spin that against anybody that like is looks like really good, ripped. Like, yeah. Look at that selfish a-hole over there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, but you see the, you know, I bet Cole is even shocked by what he did, you know, in these extremes of hunger. His body's collapsing. I'm sure he doesn't even realize what he's doing. He's just like desperately grabbing for any food that he can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then at that moment, Jessica realized that she has feelings for Cole.
Yeah. You know, it was funny that that crisis brought out Jessica's feelings and also made Mike realize maybe I don't need this guy around. But yeah.
Also, kudos to Dr. Mike and Jessica for just like, you know, I'm sure that from a narrative perspective, the show loves the idea that healers were involved in actual the medical situation healing that was going on out there. But also, you know, those guys were really on the spot and, you know, did not fade in the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Ben was like, let's leave him to die. He's not a hero.
He wasn't even there. He must have been doing like an interview or something. All right. So let's start to get into some of the questions from this episode. I can't believe Allie is gone. I really thought that she was in this for the long haul.
Steven. I thought so, too. She was one of my favorites to win. I hope they bring her back. I thought she was great.
Yeah, I think that we'll probably end up talking this through throughout the rest of the podcast week. But I mean, she does seem like a real no brainer in terms of that, you know, she was very impactful in the pre-merge, seemed like a good player, and then was very, very unlucky. Do you feel like, and I don't want to get into doing why blank lost right now, Stephen, but do you feel like that was there a particular mistake that she made that you feel like that had she made a different move somewhere in these first like 16 days that it would have worked out differently?
Well, I mean, there's two things. I mean, I agree with you. She got unlucky, and that unluck was the same as Rourke's, which was this like idol, this magical idol that there was a bond between Ryan and Chrissy that they had no way of knowing about. Right? They had no way of even guessing that Ryan and Chrissy might have this special bond that was beyond the structure of the swap itself. So, I mean, just no way to gauge that at all. You know, how did she misplay it? I think maybe she, whatever Ryan was feeling from her, where he felt that he couldn't talk to her about voting out Rourke, that's where she misplayed it. You know, I think she should have maybe shown Ryan more attention in those 4 days between when they swapped and brought Rourke over and when they ended up voting her out. And maybe Ryan would have felt safer sharing his plan to vote her out for whatever reason. You know, he didn't feel comfortable. And then, of course, like we talked about here, the way she blew up at Ryan after tribal council. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're right. And going back to that conversation that they had where, you know, he is like, what, you got so close with Rourke? She's like, but I knew her for 4 days. That it does feel like that maybe her and Rourke got too close too quick. And perhaps, and this is, you know, me projecting, maybe Ryan may have like some insecurities that it's like, oh, wait, she made a new friend. She doesn't like me anymore. I'm old news. Okay.
Right.
And so they're thick as thieves. Okay. I got to get rid of them now.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that's very possible. Or it was just a reason, you know, or he just came up with a rationale to do something he wanted to do anyway.
Okay. All right. Let's get to these questions from the wonderful listeners of Rob Has a Podcast. Let's go with Edmo, who wants to know, who does Joe trust at the merge? It's interesting. He seems like he trusts Desi, but I don't know, is Cole and Jessica and that's it?
Yeah, I guess he gets back with Cole and Jessica. I mean, he's full throttle all the time. So, you know,
he's such a wild card in this spot because I mean, Steven, it is possible, like, you know, we could end up with some situation next week where it's like, okay, Joe is, you know, Ashley and Devin say, look, Joe is a troublemaker. We got to go after him. And then, you know, they say, okay, well, I guess we got to try to split the votes, but you can't really, because what is it going to be going into the merge where at 12, so you have 7 versus 5. So they can't do a vote split. You know, it might be one of these situations where, you know, the heroes and the hustlers need to find, you know, who doesn't have the idol. And you have two potential healers who do have idols that we really could see a very dramatic idol scenario coming up next week.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be a big episode. And I mean, let's hope it is. I think you were saying, someone was saying this, I think it was you, but one big difference between Joe and Tony, at least as we've seen them, is that Tony was really good at building alliances. We haven't seen that from Joe as much. You know, Tony had his core group of people. He had Wu, he had Trish, he had like his little group around him.
Now, again, that Tony was put into a different situation than Joe was, where Tony ended up really starting to build his core group when they ended up going from tribes of three to tribes of two. And I believe they did that at seven.
Two tribes.
Yeah, so they went. So he had a group in a group of seven. He was able to, find Trish, find Wu, find LJ and Jeffra, and that was, and then remember top five, baby. And so we end up in this situation where Joe is put from a group of three into a different group of three at five. And so he really only had him and Desi. So he does not have much of a coalition going into this merge.
Yeah. Very true.
Okay. And again, famously, that with all due respect to Tony, it was Trish who had to bail him out at the merge to knock out Officer Sarah back in Survivor Kageon.
Hey, any great winner is part of a great partnership to some degree. No one plays the game of Survivor by themselves, So, no one is 100% responsible for all of the moves that get them.
Even if they get all the votes, doesn't that mean that what percent, like one seventh of the win was responsible to you? Right.
It's not a question of the votes. It's not a question.
Isn't
of
that
the
how
votes.
They break it up?
That's not how.
I thought that was how it gets.
People don't vote for you based on your impact. They vote for you based on bias and misunderstandings and petty grievances.
All right.
Thomas Johns wants to know my hot take of the night. Cole faked a fainting to get more food. Where was medical? Conspiracy, Rob?
No. I mean, he did like a header into a log. There's no way.
And also, like, that would be the most, like, there's no reason to think he's going to get more food from that. Medical doesn't cover the individual camps. They're not just like, you don't have like a squad of doctors hanging out at camp waiting for someone to go down.
Right. I mean, that I think we've seen this type of thing where somebody is so dehydrated that then medical will come in and sort of like hook them up to an IV. This wasn't that.
Yeah.
So I'm not buying it. I'm not buying this in terms of that. I mean, what an actor if that was the case.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right. John Densford wants to know, would Dr. Mike have been better off cooking a sea cucumber than fish?
Steven, you are probably more experienced with the knowledge of the how to prepare the fish on Survivor.
The fish, that little fish, to be fair, is not going to give you anything more than, a tiny little morsel of food. But
yeah, were there sea cucumbers? Hilarious scene. And Ben is really, really funny. I don't think that we really knew this going into, like, he did have some good lines in first one out, but he's really funny. He gives some really great reactions to the camera. When Dr. Mike dropped the fish in the fire, he was fantastic in that moment.
Yeah. Pick to win, right? He's our winner, our rooting interest.
Ben?
Yeah.
I mean, he's definitely up there.
Who else? Who are you rooting for?
Steven,
Chrissy, I guess. Chrissy?
What am I? Not a professional journalist covering this show?
No, but even professionals have a bias. You know, that's the whole point of what Trump is saying, is that the news is biased.
No. Okay. Not this news.
Real news, Rob?
Yeah. See, this is why all these survivors like Sandra get mad at you, because you come in with biased opinions, Stephen. You're supposed to be...
Because I'm a real human being. I'm not some like automaton, like podcast bot.
Podcast bot is the hashtag. Okay. Mike Christensen, which healer / Yawa relationship will weather the merge? Jess and her showmance to call, or her Sunbae Mike? Shout out to Sunbae and all of our genius coverage available at robswebsite.com/store.
I think that Jess, it seems like she's really feeling Cole right now.
Yeah, I do think if push came to shove, she would end up going with Cole. And I do think that her and Cole are going to be big, juicy targets coming into this merge. But we'll see, because I kind of feel like that there's a possibility that Dr. Mike could go his own way. I think that certainly Joe will have no hesitation throwing them under the bus. So I do love that. And I just talked to AJ Mass today about the marriage of convenience in our 13 archetypes. I would love if somehow Dr. Mike and Joe ended up on the same side of the numbers, with sort of like both ending up trying to go in a different direction to scramble and having to work together.
That would be great. That would be great. I mean, maybe that's what we were seeing, you know, when we saw that little antagonism at the beginning. Maybe that was the, you know, the start of a beautiful friendship, as they say.
Exciting.
All right. Liska Savage wants to know, did Allie tank her game by losing her temper, or was she a goner as soon as Ryan decided to leave her out of the Rourke vote?
Well, I think it's safe to say it didn't help. Are we saying that it tanked her game? Absolutely not. I mean, she was sort of in dire straits to begin with. Had she played everything perfectly, she easily still could have gotten voted out tonight. It didn't help, but I felt like that from that point on, she ended up making a super compelling case. I was fooled. I thought that JP was getting voted out, and I thought that she would be this week's recipient of the Fishy Award, Stephen. But alas, it was not to be.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that Allie was so clearly the person to eliminate that if that tribe was going to tribal council, she really, I don't think there's anything she could say or could not say that would stop her from being voted out in that situation. Conversely, you know, if they ended up not going to tribal council and merging, I think that would be really where that explosion would hurt her game more. Because, you know, that could create long lasting antagonism. But I don't think that led to her getting voted out.
Okay. All right, so what about Wes?
Wes Mackin wants to know, so if Allie did Mackin or Macon?
I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe, you know sometimes. Yeah. So if Allie did tell the Hustlers about Patrick, it had to hurt her loyalty argument, right? Because Ryan ratted.
Yeah, I did think that the argument about the loyalty was a little bit of an odd one to Chrissy to go and basically say, hey, you know, I put all my loyalty into Ryan. I have to take it away. Now I'm going to give it all to you. I feel like I'm not loving hearing that from a person that I'm thinking about working with, about how that now they have no loyalty to somebody who's my partner.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree.
Somebody came to me as like, Rob, look, you know, I love you, Stephen Fishback. That guy, he screwed me over. Don't care for him. But you, I'd be like, look, I can't work with you.
Yeah, I mean, Allie did write Chrissy's name down. You know, there's no.
Like, I get it, but
yeah, you don't really. I mean, it's hard to forgive when someone writes your name down because there's no. You know, for all of the words and the arguments that you can make, there's just no clearer sign of someone's intentions than a name on a parchment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Emily wants to know, Ryan dominated our screens, but I felt like he looked disconnected from the pulse of his tribe. How am I supposed to feel about him?
Steven, I'm curious about that as well. How are we supposed to feel about Ryan?
I mean, he did sort of take a little bit more of a heel turn tonight when he told us about how, you know, I don't know why everybody's trusting me. I'm the biggest weasel here. And if he's telling us he's the villain, while I like it, it's fun TV for me. I do wonder how much that resonates with the audience. Like in terms of like the 8 million people watching, does that sort of, is that the kind of thing where people are starting to sour on him?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, he's definitely playing a type, right? He's playing a character. And yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I think it's going to be incredibly fun to watch moving forward. And I'm really excited about this merge that we have, you know, several really big, interesting characters that are coming into this merge. You know, we lost one of our better characters tonight, but, you know, we still have like, you know, 7 or 8 really interesting figures in this merge.
I really like Ryan. I like it more. I you know, you can't from one comment say, oh, he's like talking about what a weasel he is. So he's like, but you know, I do like it when people are more like, you know, the David Wright of it all, who's just like out there scrambling, so earnest, hard on his sleeve. But I think Ryan really is that for the most part, other than, you know, that one remark. So I'm not going to hold one thing that made air, you know, against him, against all the other things he's done and said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it'll be interesting to talk to David about any comparisons between him and Ryan, because I kind of feel like that David Wright is somewhere like in between Ryan and Dr. Mike.
Or what about Ryan and Joe scrambling for the idols?
Yeah. And Joe. And a lot to talk about. Okay. Yeah. What about Paige?
Paige Williams wants to know, no questions, just a comment. I remember when we never knew when the merge was going to happen. I miss that.
When was that, Paige?
You know, Thailand.
I guess so. I mean, the merge that you have to go and take a look. But I mean, traditionally, merge is the seventh episode of the season. That's pretty much it. It's a little bit, it could be different in these 20 person seasons.
Yeah, but I think it was eight in Heroes versus Villains.
Yeah, it might have been later than that. I think that Heroes versus Villains was actually one of the later merges that we ever had. But I mean, for the most part, you have 16 people, you have 18 people. That merge is coming at that seventh episode.
Yeah.
You can almost set your watch by it. Okay. A couple more. Dominic M wants to know, when you burn someone at a vote, is the best thing to do cut them ASAP because you'll never fully get their trust back? Did you look at the Rourke and Allie thing as a package deal last week, Stephen?
No, I think this was salvageable. And I think it's actually a very common thing to vote out someone's ally and say, oh my God, I'm so sorry. You know, we did that. Let's work together. I mean, I think if you go back even the last couple of seasons, that probably happens a lot, if not all the time, where one group votes out an ally and says, oh my God, but let's continue to work together. Let's reconstitute. And especially now in voting block era Survivor, you've got, I think people are much more fluid about that kind of thing. But when it becomes like this conflict, that's when it becomes, you know, heavy.
Okay. Let's take one from Stephanie B. What's with all the Jessica butt slapping tonight? It was Lauren. Also, is this the first live know-it-alls during a merge episode? Yes.
Yeah, it
Making
is.
History. Making
Very
history.
Very excited. It's I mean, a lot I to talk not, about.
Jessica is slapping Lauren's butt?
I think Jessica slapped Lauren's butt. I didn't know that she had... I didn't notice her slap anybody else's butt.
Hey, that's... Look, that's not our place. If Lauren doesn't like it, Jessica shouldn't do it, Steven.
That's right.
Okay. Lauren Malik. Hey,
Brooke H. wants to know, should Lauren, Ben, and Dr. Mike throw the challenge to vote out Cole? No.
You know, Lauren, Ben, and Dr. Mike throw the challenge to vote out Cole. Oh, absolutely not. I feel like that I was talking about should Cole, Jessica, and Mike throw the challenge to vote out Ben. And I actually stumped pretty hard for them to do that in the feedback show this week. I do think that might have been a mistake because I think I might have been over calculating just how tight Dr. Mike was with Jessica and Cole. Dr. Mike, if we can take his words to Ben at face value, is not loving Cole.
Well, I think that's the issue for like why neither of those groups should throw the challenge is they just don't know where Dr. Mike is going to vote, or at least we don't know where Dr. Mike is going to vote as viewers. So we can't really say that's what they should or shouldn't do. I think Ben is a great guy to have in the merge. Seems like a giant target to me. You know, this war veteran who's super likable. I would want him, you know, but then he might Jeremy. So,
right. But if you're one of the healers, I mean, that you feel like, OK, I have this guy sort of dead to rights. And now if I can vote him out here, I don't have to deal with him. Yes, he's going to be a big target after the merge. But your side does not have the numbers.
Yeah, but sometimes it's good to not have the numbers at the going into the merge.
I mean, I guess so. But in a perfect world, you'd like the numbers, right?
Yeah. But, you know, I hear that. Like, take out one of the opposition. I mean, I don't think it's as cut and dry. You know, certainly these three tribe merges. I guess what you're saying is true, that the healers and the hustlers, I'm sorry, the heroes and the hustlers are kind of across the board teaming up. But I don't think, you know, when you're on one of those tribes, you necessarily know what's happening in the other two.
Okay. Let's get to Jonah, Stephen. Tonight helps Ryan in two ways. Gets rid of the loose end from last week and helps the hustlers slip under the radar at the merge. You know, I say that, you know, I probably shouldn't think this way, but, you know, I'm talking about things from a like 30,000 foot view in terms of knowing where all the alliances are. Obviously, these players don't know, you know, who's working with who at these other tribes. But yes, it does help them, I think, in the long term, what they did tonight.
Yeah.
So, okay, we'll see. All right, what about Joseph?
Joseph Mercado wants to know, we got Super Idol on day one of the game, vote block on first day of swap. Do you think we'll get an advantage? Sorry, vote block, not voting block. On first day of swap, do you think we'll get an advantage on day one of the merge? One of these single-use advantages. What do you think?
That's a great point. I would definitely think it's a possibility. I'm not sure what that would necessarily look like, other than if it's like, here is something that has to be used. Like, it feels like it would be watering down that day one advantage, which is still in the game. Had that been played, I could see maybe, okay, here is a, you know, first vote of the merge idol that expires after tonight. But it seems to me a little, you know, not ideal to have two fake idols in the game at the same time and two real ones.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. It probably won't be like a fake idol thing, but who knows what it could be? You know, it could be some little fun. I assume when the merge comes, we're going to see all kinds of, you know, little advantages and twists. Certainly that's been the trend over the last couple of seasons.
Okay. Bring your pen and paper to know it all, Stephen.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's do one last question, Stephen. What does Colin have to say?
Colin has to say, how do you guys view this potential giant alliance between the three remaining hustlers and four heroes?
Okay. Steven, do you think I've oversimplified it, that I believe that the heroes and the hustlers will work together against the healers coming into the merge?
I mean, that's the story that's being told, but there's a lot of divisions there. You know, I mean, I think I see that. I see that too, but I do think that there's more play there. You know, you see Ben and Lauren have something with Mike.
Dr. Mike is the biggest question mark for me in that equation.
Yeah, but we also have seen, you know, Desi is talking to Ashley. So I don't know if it's like A versus B necessarily at this point. But if you were going to make a break right now, I guess that's where you'd break it.
Okay. All right. Lots of great stuff coming up. News AF. Stevie, have you ever listened to News AF?
I have. It's hilarious.
Yes. With your buddy and mine, Tyson Apostle and Danny Bryson, had a lot of
and
fun.
Danny.
Talking about some Halloween stories. They put strawberries on a pizza, Steven.
Who did?
Somebody.
Ew, that's disgusting.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So check that out, News AF. And then look at this. The host of the Survivor Know It Oz, Nick Yadanza. He was a guest with Taryn Armstrong on the Taryn Show this week, coming off of the very highly regarded Australian Survivor recap. They said it was a big improvement from the season one podcast.
Yeah. How's Nick doing as a host?
No, fantastic. And yeah, check him out on the Taryn Show. Of course, exit interview number 6 with Ali as well coming up on Thursday. So be on the lookout for that. And then David Wright will be here with me in the studio to talk it all through. Send your questions to David Wright, survivor@robisawebsite.com. And of course, we have our feedback show coming up this weekend. robisawebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. You can email in a question as well. Steven, did we officially say who got the fishy? Did you split it? What did you do with the fishy tonight?
You'll have to tune into my blog to read who got the fishy.
Okay. Did you give the fishy to Ryan for giving the advantage to Chrissy in the first episode for the third time?
You never know what could happen.
You never
in the
know
people
what
blog,
could happen. All right.
But you can be sure that you'll have read many of you'll have heard many of the jokes. But if you'd like to see the same jokes in print, you know where to go. My People blog, which I will soon be posting to Twitter imminently.
OK.
And Rob, still tickets available for next week's live Know It All.
Yes. OK, so come on out. And we're going to be in a AMC theater. It'll be the biggest screen and you ever watch Survivor on in your life. Go to.
Oh, my God. A theater screen. That's crazy.
It's crazy. robhasawebsite.com/S35KIA or click on the events tab on robhasawebsite.com. Very excited, of course. After party to follow as well.
Oh, speaking of, should people bring their own booze? Can they do that?
No. Well, you should have a happy hour beforehand and then come to the show.
But no flasks or anything.
I don't think that we should be advising.
Okay, no like, flasks. No yeah. flasks.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just that, look, I don't know if they're going to be frisking people on the way in.
Really?
In the words of the great Kyle Jason.
You do you, boo-boo.
You know? Look, yeah, it's not my place to judge.
Go. Hashtag podcast bot.
Yeah. Hashtag podcast bot. So very excited about everything coming up. Follow Stephen Fishback on Twitter @StephenFishback. Don't miss that People blog right around the corner. And plenty of big stuff coming up on the podcast. Make sure you subscribe. Rob is a website.com. /iTunes. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes, who also was with me on post-show recaps this week to talk about the latest episode of Star Trek, which was a pretty crazy one. Check that out on postshowrecaps.com. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor, no way at all.